Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spirit Travels Radio. I'm Karen Miles, and this is my dear friend, Jolene Brightson. Hi, Jolene.
Hi.
How you doing this evening?
Oh, I'm doing okay. It's going to be a nice evening, and I'm very, very pleased to be on the program tonight. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm glad you're here, and tonight is going to be a really great show.
Yes.
We have two different guests this evening. Our first guest, we're going to attempt to call him now. His name is Norman Wounded Knee Dale Kemple. And Yes, the news about the Glen Cove Burial Ground, I think everybody's going to be pleased with. So we'll try and get him on the phone real quick.
Okay. That was beautiful music.
Oh, well, thank you. I picked that song because I thought that it was appropriate for tonight's show.
Very much so. Very nice.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Wounded Knee, Bill Campbell.
Well, we are not sure as to why we're not able to get in contact with him, but not at this moment anyway. But anyway, I will just go ahead and tell everybody what's going on.
That's right.
Last week, we had a really good win for the Glen Cove Burial Ground, and we actually have, we actually have another caller online, so let me take this call real quick.
Okay. Okay.
Hello? Hello, caller, are you there?
That's Wounded Knee. That's Wounded Knee.
Oh, is it? I can't hear.
Yeah, it's him.
Can you call back in, Wounded Knee? Because I'm having a very hard time hearing you.
Hearing. Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah, there. Hopefully he'll call back in just a moment because I couldn't hear
a word he said.
No, me either. Let me take the number down and I'll call him back.
I heard his voice, but I couldn't understand him.
Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn around and call him back and see if we can't get him back on the phone. And Wounded Knee, if you are able to hear us, I'm calling you right straight back to see if we can work this out with the line so it's more clear for everybody. Okay. All right. I do apologize. We are having some phone line difficulties this evening, but we'll get through this.
Yes, we will.
We'll take but just a moment. Okay, here we go.
It's ringing.
I'm actually getting...
Please leave your message for 26799925393. Record your message after the tone. To send a numeric page, press 5.
Oh, gosh. Okay. He actually attempted to call me on his cell phone to my house. So please bear with us, everybody, and we'll get this straightened out. It's just a little bit of a tech difficulty here. All right. Here we go. And he's on the phone.
Hello?
Wounded Knee?
Yeah.
Hi, it's Karen and Bright Sun. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine, Karen. Where are you at now, in Virginia?
I'm in Kentucky. Bright Sun.
Oh, yeah, you're in Kentucky. I get you confused with Kentucky and Cheap Medicine Horse and Swamp Rat and Smiling Butterfly and... Yeah, Bright Star, boy. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing pretty good. We were anxious to get you on and see how things are going with you. And I do apologize for the little incident with the phone line there that was momentarily. That was accidental.
Yeah, I have another radio station to do at 5:00, and I'm at home right now, and I have to go back down to the site. I have another radio station with KPFA. KPFA is heard around the world.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, you have a very busy evening this evening.
Yes, that I'm running on. So how's everything going on back in Kentucky? Oh, Kentucky. Home of the Kentucky Derby.
It's very hot here. I'm doing good.
You ever go to the Kentucky Derby?
No, I've never been.
You've never been to Kentucky?
I have never been to Kentucky Derby. I've only been here 2 years, and I've not made it up to Kentucky Derby as of yet.
What?
Maybe eventually.
That's the biggest thing going on in Kentucky.
I know.
Kentucky Derby.
Hi, Wounded Knee. This is Bright Sun.
Hello, Bright Sun.
Hi.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. How about you?
Well, I'm running and I'm tired. A lot of people are calling me, and I wanted to give a chance to talk to Karen and you about what's going on at the Glen Cove Sacred Site here in Vallejo, California, known as Segor-T. Yeah. I just want to call you guys to thank you for all the things that you have done for indigenous people, to write letters, to call the mayor of Vallejo, California, and write letters to GVRD and support our cause to protect a sacred burial ground of our ancestors.
You're very welcome. We've seen something that needed to be done and needed to be stopped, and we took a chance, and we was hoping that it was going to work and help save the burial ground.
I'm
so honored.
Absolutely. We've been praying to the Creator and all our ancestors and all our grandfathers and grandmothers.
Yes.
Help us to protect this sacred site.
Uh-huh.
And I hope and pray that our call, our prayers are answered by the Creator and our ancestors and our grandfathers and grandmothers that have been watching over us for 107 days ever since we came to occupy that piece of land, stopping the bulldozers coming on April the 14th. And you know, Bright Sun and Karen, it's been a 12 years and 7 months journey for me, along with other people that went on a different journey. Some of the people went on to the other side, to a spiritual journey, and that was helping to protect this site. You have to remember that took 12 years and 7 months. But the last 3 months have been very crucial and critical for us. And I just want to thank people for stepping up and heard the call of our ancestors. Our ancestors are crying. But it will never be over with until all sacred sites are protected and preserved for our future generations. So our future generation will have somewhere to go and pray to our ancestors.
That's right.
It'll never be over until they stop desecrating these sacred sites.
That's right. That's right. But our future generation is strong. We are strong in our way to be able to teach them how to learn the strength that we learned from our ancestors, so that we can turn to them as we become elders and they take over the next generations. It means very much to know that their strength is there and that they can and will fight the fight that we have fought for all these years, and to know that they will take our place and they will stand tall.
Absolutely. It was our time to protect our ancestors. Now, when we go on our spiritual journey, it'll be the future generation, the seventh generations. The seventh generations have already been here. Now they have to tell the other seven generations, step up now and protect these sacred sites and burial grounds of our ancestors. I know there's other issues that people face across this country, but as indigenous people, we have always struggled and fought to protect many, many issues that are facing Native American people today.
Right.
You know, we're still battling and fighting because we have 389 treaties with the United States government, and the government has not lived up to them treaties.
No.
And we have a legal document, and for their future generation to stand up and say, "Hey, we have a treaty with you."
That's right.
You have to step up, because when me and you pass over, and all the other elders that are going to the spirit world, they need to stop, step up, and protect us, so that we won't be dug up to be looked at.
That's right.
Many years from now, I don't want nobody digging up my bones.
No. No, and our generations, you know, my son is the seventh generation, and he has been told since he was just a little bitty boy at the powwows, all the elders would tell him, "You're the seventh generation, and when you reach a certain age, it's going to be turned over to you," because at one powwow there was a young man, his name's Two Hawks, and he is a seventh generation, and he told Robert, he said, "Now it's your turn. It's your turn to take over." He said, "You are seventh generation. It's your turn. I'm moving into the autumn of my life. It's your turn." And so it shows that and he is strong, and he will defend his people, and I know that in my heart, even if I'm not here. And so it takes great strength, and actually our younger generations have learned a great deal from us to be able to learn not only strength but learn how to fight back, and we have taught them that also.
Learn how to use what our grandfathers and our grandmothers and the Creator gave us, the spirit.
Yes.
Learn how to use the spirit of our ancestors.
Yeah.
Learn how to listen to the elders and the spiritual leaders.
Exactly.
Because that's how I learned to stay strong.
Yep.
I stay strong because of what the elders and the spiritual leaders and our ancestors have taught me. They have taught me to stay strong. Never let them break your spirit.
No.
Never let them break your spirit. Stay strong. No. So I tell the young kids out there today, as indigenous people, you have to stay strong. Stay strong, stay mm-hmm. strong, and stay close to that sacred fire. And always offer your prayer to that sacred fire and to our ancestors and to the Creator. Mm-hmm. And never let them break your spirit. You have a strong spirit, because that's how I stay strong, because I have the ancestors behind me.
Uh-huh.
They didn't understand it. They did not understand why they couldn't break my spirit. They tried to break it by sending people down there, talking with me, confronting me in a nasty way, in an abusive way, and being very belligerent toward me, cussing at me, using profanity, language that our people don't use today. Cussing at me, and I stood there as a warrior, as a spiritual warrior, and took that abuse. But I couldn't let this one man break my spirit or let anybody else confront him in a bad way, because everything would have been over with. The police would have been down there, and we still had to finish our accomplishment, what we have to do to protect that sacred site. We stood tall and we stayed strong as indigenous people of this country. Stay strong to the young people.
Right.
Keep your spirit strong.
Right. And you have a ceremony coming up, don't you?
We have a ceremony tomorrow beginning at 12 o'clock.
Okay.
And I hope people could keep the prayers going for us, because I know deep down inside, like I said, Karen and Bright Sun, it's not over. It's not over. Glencoe was just a stepping stone for our ancestors. Now there's other sacred sites and sacred places that they will go and try to destroy. Stand up and fight for what you believe in. This was a historical victory for us. This was a historical victory for us to protect our ancestors, to protect our culture and our religion. And we stood up. We stood up against many, many people to fight for what we believe in. Yes, we're having a ceremony tomorrow, and there are going to be a lot of people down there. And we hope that you guys could be praying for us.
Yes.
For us. Yes. Because it's going to be a sad day and a happy day. Because we, the people that stood up, all of us that stood up, I'm saying we, not I or me. It was we that stood up and stood up in front of all these people and took the abuse from them. They told us we couldn't drum or sing. They told us that their religion was better than our religion, and we stood there because we knew what we had to do to protect this sacred site.
Right.
They never broke our spirit. They couldn't break our spirit. And that's why they got so upset at us, because they couldn't break the spirit of our ancestors.
That's right.
Ooh.
Your ancestors were there.
Yeah, and also sisters.
That's
my sisters and my mother, who always stood by beside me, they were there. And they couldn't feel that spirit because they don't have a spirit.
Yeah. It is so wonderful.
I want to ask a favor from Swamp Rat.
Okay.
From Smiling Butterfly and Bright Sun and Karen and Chief Medicine Horse. I would like you guys to write letters or email Yokadashi. Yokadashi is spelled Yochadehe.
Yochadehe. A.
Capital D.
Capital D.
E.
E.
H E.
H E. Okay.
Wintun, Wintun, Nation.
Wintun, okay.
Nation. And thank them
Nation.
For standing up and protecting a sacred site.
Okay.
In
California?
Yeah.
Okay.
And thanking the Native American people that occupied that land, not only for 3.5 months, but it's been a 12-year, 7-month journey for us, especially
right.
for me.
Right.
And the other ones that went on to the spirit world.
Right.
His name is Marshall McKay, chairperson for Yokadashi. Marshall. M-A-R-S-C-H-L-L. M-A-R-S-H-A-L-L.
Got it.
McKay, capital M, small c, capital K, small A-Y.
He wrote a book, didn't he?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think he wrote a book.
And you can CC that to chairperson Charlie Wright, because these tribes stood behind us.
Okay.
You can CC that to Charlie Wright.
Charlie Wright.
Cortina. band of Wintus. Cortina is spelled C-O-R-T-I-N-A. Band of Wintu Indian. C-O-R-T-I-N-A. Band, B-A-N-D, of Wintu Indians.
Okay.
And also, C.C. Daniel Gomez. G-O-M-E-Z.
Daniel Gomez?
Yeah.
Okay.
Calusa. Calusa Band of Wintu Indians. Calusa is spelled C-O-L-U-S-A.
Spell that again, Wounded Knee.
C-O-L-U-S-A. Calusa. Band,
okay.
Band of Wintu Indians.
Okay.
And you can send that to www.yokatashi.org. Small letters.
www.yokatashi.org. Okay.
Yeah. Did
okay.
you? Did I spell? Can you spell Yoka the she back to me?
Yeah.
Y-O-C-H-A.
Yeah. You go ahead, Karen.
Oh, I'm sorry, Joanne.
No. Go ahead.
Y O H A D H.
No. Y-O-C-H-A.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Y O C H A.
Yeah. The she. D E H E. .org. And them is in small letters. They're all together. And
okay.
Send them a letter thanking them for standing up to protect the Glencoe sacred site. And if you get other people to thank them, I think they really appreciate it coming from indigenous people and non-Native American people that you guys were watching them and you continue to watch them today.
We will definitely get this out to everybody that needs to have this so that they can write and send thanks to them for what they stood up and done. And I wanted to tell you, too, that after a 12-year, 7-month fight, you are, and the people that stood behind you to do this are one of the strongest people that I have ever had the honor to speak with.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Karen. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Yes. You know, the journey is not over for me until I leave this earth. And then I'll go on a spiritual journey, and I'll be with my ancestors, my mother and father, and my family, and all my relatives, the ones I've never seen before in my life. And you know what they'll be doing when I get ready to travel to the other side? They'll be waving eagle feathers at me.
Yes, they will. Yes, they will. Yes,
yes
they will.
Yes, they will.
Yes,
and you know, one other thing I would like to say to Wright Son and Karen,
yeah.
You know, never pay attention to the division. They try to divide us. That's their way of keeping us separated. Keep them divided and let them fight amongst themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what Little Turtle said. Little Turtle said, if all tribes fight amongst themselves, all will be killed. But if we all join together, we can make a powerful fist, and we can make a powerful statement and stay strong as indigenous people of this country. Don't let them break your spirit.
No. No.
You have a spirit. All indigenous people have a spirit, and we have to use it
the
way we were taught. The way we were taught to use it, in a good way.
Yes.
Okay?
Okay.
Well, I want to thank you, Bright Son, and I hope you raise your son right. I hope he becomes a true warrior. I hope he becomes an indigenous warrior to lead our people. Lead our people because we need the young people, even the young women warriors, to stand up and fight for what we believe in because majority of the people that helped me on this journey for 12 years and 7 months in the last 3 crucial months were women.
See, and Karen's daughter dancing in the rain. She is a true young lady and a warrior, and she is strong.
I like that name, Dancing in the Rain, because The rain came. The rain came, and we never moved.
There you go.
We never moved because we knew Mother Earth was thirsty. She needed a drink.
Yeah.
And she needed a drink, and she drank. But we stood there. We understand that. We are indigenous people. We know that the sky got to cry. We know the rain takes care of Mother Earth because she gets thirsty just like we get thirsty.
Yes. Well, thank you for
everything,
your comfort.
Everything has to drink water. Without water, nothing survives on this earth.
That's right.
I have to go now.
Okay.
And I want to thank you. Guys, stay in touch with me.
Thank you.
Give me a call back. Give me a call, Karen. And Bryson, don't forget me. All right?
Oh.
I will never forget you guys.
I'm never going to forget. No. No. Not. In fact, I think Swamp Rat's listening tonight as this show is going. He said he was going to listen.
Tell Swamp Rat I appreciate everything he done, and keep up the spiritual work for our indigenous people. We need to keep fighting for what we believe in to protect these sacred sites, because like I said, the sacred site at Glen Cove is not over, because I know deep down inside there will be other sacred sites. They're fighting a battle right now at Bear Butte, South Dakota, to protect the Black Hills. They're also fighting right now in Flagstaff, Arizona, to protect San Francisco Peak. Oh, my Takiyasi. And they're battling.
Takiyasi.
Okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
I got to go.
Takiyasi. Oho.
Oho, my Takiyasi. Oho.
Takiyasi. Oho.
Wow. He's great. He really is. He's great.
He's wonderful.
I'm glad that everything turned the way it did, and tonight and tomorrow night they're going to be celebrating, that's been a long, long battle for them. But he's right, there is more, and we do have someone else that's online, and it is about another burial site that is in the danger of being built over top of. So if you're ready, I'm going to bring Camilla Blue Horse on. And we'll go from there with this.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. I'm Camilla Blue Horse.
Oh, my.
And that was awesome, hearing Wounded Knee. I supported the cause of Glen Cove, wrote letters and sent emails, because we are also fighting the same situation in Oxford, Alabama.
Okay.
Against the mayor down here. We've been fighting it now for 5 years. Back in 2009, we got it passed and got it stopped because they had actually unearthed human remains. And now the mayor has geared back up to completely destroy it for industrial development. And
don't they want to build a Sam's Club there? That's what Swamp Rat told me.
Do what now?
Swamp Rat told me they wanted to build a Sam's Club there. Is that right?
A sports complex.
Sports complex.
Yeah, but...
Okay.
Yeah, they already have a huge sports complex. I've been knowing the mayor down there for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew his sons. His sons were my age. And he's geared up again. And I have some dear friends here who are through who are educators for indigenous people through the Native American Preservation Movement.
Yeah.
And we've had meetings in the squares and stuff to try to educate people about the Native American sacred burial site.
Yeah.
And We got, like I said, in 2009, we got it halted, but they had already unearthed human remains. And since then, since we've got it stopped, it's the damage that they had done, the damage continues to, from erosion and stuff, because it used to be a beautiful site that I used to go to. I've been told that I have relatives buried there, and ancestors. And so I have fought with the mayor, and anyway, along with my people here that educate everybody on it. And we've not been real successful this time. I'm not even sure if it's too late to take more movement, because according to our local Anniston Star, that they are going to go ahead and go on with the destruction of the site. And I don't understand, because there's hundreds and hundreds of acres surrounding the whole area that they could build this complex on. It just doesn't make any sense to me that they want to destroy a sacred site when there's land all around to do what they want to do. Why choose the sacred burial site of our people, of our ancestors? So I have called upon my band to step in. I've called upon everybody. I've started causes and stuff on Facebook and got quite a few members, but it's just, we're just not getting as successful as we were in 2009.
I think because of the destruction that's happened from the beginning, you know, as far as how the American Indian has been treated and the land taken and everything, it kind of has that type of demeanor is how I see it. You know, it's not, this doesn't matter, but this does, when this does matter, and it means a lot more than what they see it as.
Yes.
We actually have somebody online, so if you don't mind, I'm going to bring them on for a moment.
Okay.
Hello, caller?
I'll see you. This is Chief Medicine Horse.
I'll see you. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, hon. I just wanted to say hi to Sister Bright's son, and it was coincidental that Sister Blue Horse was on there. I'd like to tell her that I have sent her information on to contact that mayor out on all my contacts.
Hi, Asayo. Thank you. Wadu.
I'm doing fine. I'm your sister.
It's good you hear you, Medicine Horse.
We're getting...
Yeah, I heard that. I heard my own voice. Had to walk in here to get away from it. It scared me.
But
no, I figured if I sounded like that, I'm going to hang up.
Oh, no. Oh, thank you so much for sending your wishes. Thank you. It's wonderful to hear your voice.
Yeah.
You too, hon. And I was aiming to give you a call, and I'm still going to. And I'd like Brother Wounded Knee to know that, you know, we're still working for him and sending the message out for people to call. And I sent all the contact information for both of those reservations out to all my contacts to have the people contact them and thank them for it, all their support and everything. And like I said, Sister Blue Horse there, I have sent the same contacts, trying to rally up the same people.
Wonderful.
To back her up, to keep that from happening there down in Oxford, because I live here in Hamilton, Alabama.
Oh, do you? Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
And I don't know. It's really a poor site. We've gotten people to gather up because of the damage they had done in before. The erosion is causing. So we've got a group of people who've come and want to donate. To plant grass, you know, to keep the erosion from, and to me now, to see it now, it's despicable. It's heartbreaking, because
That's
I used to go there, I used to pray there, and it was a beautiful sight. And now it's not the same. And like I said, they did unearth human remains back in 2009, and that's when they immediately the Senate put a stop to it. But now that mayor has geared back up and says he's going to get it done. And I knew his son. It's my age, and he was killed in a car wreck. And I asked him, I said, how would you feel if I go to your son's grave and unearth him? You know, how would that make you feel? Yeah. It's the same thing you're doing to me and to my ancestors.
Yep.
So,
well, hopefully things will work out. Like I said, I sent that information, the contact information out to the same people that I did for Brother Wounded Knee. And I know it went to the same people, and through the Great Spirit, this contact, and a prayer for victory for the people out there in Glen Cove was actually put in the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem.
Oh, my God.
Well, I know that I supported the cause for Glen Cove and wrote letters and sent emails myself, and I am going to. I wrote all that down at Wounded Knee. I was jotting down as fast as I could. I will also send a thank you to the people who supported this amazing cause, and I, like he says, we have to remain strong, and I am strong, and I'm not going to give up.
I'll hold to that.
Yes.
I'm going to go ahead and sign off here. You know, I'm scared my voice is going to be heard by too many people, but if y'all need my help for anything, just let me know.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Medicine Horse. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anish, sister, many blessings and love.
You too. Mm-hmm. Blessings and love to you.
Blessings and love.
Blessings and love. Oh, he's already gone. he was gone quickly.
Yeah.
He was gone.
Aww. Well, that was nice.
That was nice. I'm so pleased that I'm getting the response that I'm getting.
Oh, you will. You will have plenty of people from all over that will be fighting this cause. For every cause that's announced to the indigenous people of our country all over, from California to the Coeur d'Alene Reservation in Idaho to Wounded Knee in South Dakota to the Eastern Woodlands, to the Eastern Woodland tribes from everywhere. All it takes is one person to say, we have the same problem here, and this is something that we have been fighting. Well, you won't be fighting it alone anymore. You will definitely have people from all over, tribes from everywhere, right by your side, and saying and sending, doing whatever it takes, whatever can be done, will be done.
Oh, I know. I'm just so blessed that I put the word out there to my tribe, and Drifting Sun, you've just been amazing, because
yes,
the responses have been overwhelming to me. But joyful. I'm just very pleased, and I'm just hoping and praying. I pray every day that we can stop this man. I don't understand. There's so much land around the area where he's wanting to build it. Why pick the site? And he can't answer that. He can't answer me. And we've met with him, but he's not a very easy person to talk to.
I wonder if there's a way, if I know you said it was stopped once before, mm-hmm. if the same people that stopped it before can be notified that he's attempting to do this again.
Right.
Well, exactly. As far as I know, the majority of them have. Now, the last that I heard was that the mayor was supposed to meet with tribal leaders to try to resolve the issue, and that never took place. So that's the last I heard of the progress. That there was none. There was no meeting. It was supposed to have been held or not, but as far as I know, all the people that helped get it passed before are involved, as well as many more. Because I've sent, like I said, I started a cause myself, 2-3 years ago, and now I've recruited many, many members to the cause from other nations, and tribes. So, but now the Drifting Sun has really stepped it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank you so much.
Yes.
Because this just is something really, really close to my heart. My great-grandmother, back in when I was young, told me all about this site.
Yes.
And stuff, yeah. And she raised me the Cherokee way and beliefs, and I still follow that.
Yes.
So, and I know that she's smiling down on me.
Yes.
Saying, keep it up, girl.
Yes.
Yeah, because she was a true warrior herself, and lived to be a great age. And
are you?
And I was pretty much raised by her, so that's why I live the tradition and the heritage so much.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was just, she raised me, and she was my great grandmother.
Right.
And lived to be over 100. Most all of my relatives did, up until these terrible diseases hit in the family. It's now it's down just to me. So I'm the only one left.
Are you close to Anniston?
Yes, I'm in the same county as Oxford. I'm in Piedmont. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just about 9 miles north of Anniston.
Mm-hmm. Of Anniston. I have a cousin who lives in Anniston, Alabama, and I'll get in touch with him. Have the phone put away, and I'll get in touch with him. He moved there, I'd say a good 3-4 years ago, and he was living further down south in Alabama, and moved up to Anniston, and he's very happy. He likes it there, and his dad and my father were brothers, and they both passed away. My father died 1.5 years ago, and his dad died about, I'd say it's been about 6 years ago when his dad and mom both passed away, and he moved all the way into Alabama where he could find some peace, and I will get in touch with him, and because he knows a lot of people in Anniston that he can gather together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That would be great. And, give him my number or whatever he needs. I work with him and work with these people who have started this Strongheart Preservation. And they're educators. They're not Native American, but they're educators through the colleges on teaching the culture and about all the heritages of all the different nations. They're very, very, and they live in Jacksonville, Alabama. See, it's Piedmont, Jacksonville, and it's in Knoxville. It's all in one county. So we're all in the same county, and I know we've worked real close. Rob and Cora Dunaway are their names, and they teach at JSU, Jacksonville State. And they're both professors, so they have really helped. As a matter of fact, like I said, they had a, we had a, see, it's been now about a year and a half, we had a big thing in the square of Jacksonville where they presented all their presentations of all the different sites, including Glencoe, and as well as others and films, and it was very educating. And but the weather was bad, so there was not a great big turnout, but it was nice, and I know they're doing everything they can to help me. Write the letters and do the causes and just getting more and more and more people involved.
Right.
But the last time I talked to them, like I said, that there was supposed to be the meeting with the mayor, with tribal leaders, which never took place. As to why, I'm not sure. So, this mayor, like I said, he's a very easy person to get along with. He's not a, to, in my words, he's not a nice man. He doesn't care about people's feelings.
Right.
Yeah, so.
What tribes are basically around that, the area of Oxford and Anniston, and is it mostly all Cherokee?
Mostly all Cherokee. I know there is some Lakota and stuff in here and a few others, but the majority is Cherokee.
Mm-hmm. What about any Choctaw Creek?
I'm sure there is, yes, because, I didn't really get into the history of Alabama. I'm actually from Tennessee. But I moved here in 87. I've been here since 87 now.
Right.
And so I didn't really meet a lot of these people until all this started in the Oxford area.
Right.
And then I really jumped all in.
Right, that's great. That
yeah,
great.
I jumped all in with all 4 feet.
Oh, my.
Yeah,
I guess the powwows down there. There must be awesome there too.
Yes, they have one in Oxford every year, in usually in June, and it is a very good powwow. They have the special trades and stuff, which I have been invited to back in the several years ago before all this started with the sacred site. So. Yes, they have a really nice powwow down in Oxford. That's what makes it so, amazing, because that's really the only place in this tight little community that they have it. It's in Oxford, in the same place
that they
want to destroy it. Mm-hmm. And where they had the powwow, you could see the sacred site, the sacred mound, And now it looks kind of pitiful, and like I said, we've been working trying to get donations to replant the grass to keep it from eroding anymore. But like I said, I didn't get good news from Rob the last time I talked to him, that the talks didn't take place, and he just didn't know really what was going to happen at this point. So, with all this help, maybe it'll get it stopped.
Yes.
Again.
Yes. Because that's what it takes. It takes one voice to begin to make something move, and that's exactly what it takes. It's one voice.
Oh, I know. I followed the whole thing through the Glen Cove, and the people were so strong and standing and staying, and it just inspired me more, and that's when I called out for help.
Good.
And Drifting Sun and my tribal members, they stepped up quick. Quick.
Good.
It didn't take but just one help, please. I need it. And
while you,
I.
while you were talking, I was listening, but I was also doing some searching about the, well, the mayor. I'm actually going to, here in a few minutes, give his address and phone number to the mayor's office. That always seems to do the trick.
Yeah.
It does say here that that it had been the city leaders in Oxford have approved the destruction of a 1,500-year-old Native American ceremonial mound and are using the dirt as fill for a new Sam's Club, a retail warehouse store operated by Walmart. Now, I'm not sure if this is a new article or if this has been here for a while.
That must be new because it was originally going to be a sports complex.
That's why Swamp Rat said Sam's Club.
Mm.
It was a 2009 article. That was what they were originally trying to do in 2009.
Right.
Oh, in 2009. Okay. Well, and now, you know, the thing is they say they want a sports complex there, and they already have a huge sports complex down there. I don't know why they need another one, because I've actually played ball on it for many years, softball. And there's just so much land elsewhere. And, of course, Oxford has grown tremendously. Since when I came here, it was just all farmland.
Wow.
And now it's just, in the last 10 years, it's just grown up just unbelievably. It's absolutely amazing. Of course, you also have the Talladega, the Talladega Super Speedway is just below Oxford. I mean, just across the line from one county to the other.
Hmm.
Yeah, so, and that's what I'm saying. There's just so much land down there that they
could... That interference right there is the Talladega, is there any interference with the raceway and the burial ground?
The burial ground, see, we have the Talladega National Forest, and the burial site is right on the outskirts of the Talladega National Forest.
I bet that's
it's
beautiful.
Just right at, I mean, it just, you have Cheeha Mountain, and the Talladega National Forest runs off of the Cheeha and Mountain. And then right from there is the mound. It's
that
the sacred site.
That's got to be beautiful.
It used to be really beautiful. It is looking kind of pitiful now.
No.
And, you know, when they stopped it in 2009, you know, it they had already done quite a bit of damage.
You know, Karen. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but my mind, I'm racing, like, thinking, you know, the band Alabama, you know, is from Fort Payne, Alabama, but, you know, Randy Owens is Cherokee, and I'm wondering if we were to write a letter to the band itself and ask for backup and help, if they wouldn't step in and help Blue Horse and get something going there, because he's very much into his native heritage.
Yeah,
it's possible. There's, you know, anything's possible. You know, wouldn't hurt to try.
I want to
give the address to this mayor's office and his phone number, so people out there listening, if they want to call, they can call and tell them, no, you know, we don't want this, and we're behind them to stop this. The phone number to the mayor's office there in Oxford is 256-831.
Okay.
The address is 145 Hamrick,
H A M R-I-C.
Drive.
Drive.
East. Or drive, yeah, drive east.
East.
And it's Oxford.
Mm-hmm. Oxford.
Alabama. 36203. So if anybody's out there listening and they want to step in and try and help support stopping this destruction to this burial site as well, please do call, send letters, flood their phones, flood their mail.
Yeah.
Yes. Have it to the point that that's all they see is letters from people that are disgusted with what they're trying to do.
Right.
Yes, yes.
Yes, I speaking, and these are my words as Bright Sun, I ask everyone, please, these burial grounds are all across this nation. It is just now that we have had enough of our ancestors being dug up. The sacred bones of our ancestors, our great-great-grandmothers, our great-great-grandfathers, who cannot rest in peace. And I don't think there was anyone in the world, let alone this country, that would want their ancestors to be dug up, thrown in a box, and put in the shed, as if they didn't matter. And this is what is happening to the American Indian. And whatever culture you may be out there, if you're listening, whether you're white, Hispanic, it doesn't matter. I ask you to think about the American Indian who has been here for thousands of years and never hurt, never touched a burial site ever, always showed respect and will always show respect. That is what they have been taught. That is what the younger generation has been taught. That is what we have been taught. That is what our children has been taught. Respect for those that have crossed over. But when you dig up a burial ground, you not only bring peace from that particular great-great-grandmother or grandfather, you disrupt the peace within the tribe, within the people. You bring heartache and pain. And whoever is doing the digging, whether it be Walmart or whatever, I ask everybody, if you shop at Walmart, be sure that you walk into the customer service and ask for the manager and tell them that you want the digging stopped, if that is indeed the store that is doing it, and that you are representing the American Indians of the United States, and that this needs to be stopped, and that you will not shop at Walmart anymore, and you will let the word be known that they dig up burial grounds. And this is how it will begin, but it will end in a good way, because it will end in victory if we speak in that manner. If it is these stores that are doing it, all it takes is a voice to say, I can make you stop by letting people know what you're doing. And that's all I ask as Bright Sun. I ask that you take a step and let them know how you feel. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. I would thank anyone that would do the same.
I also want to say this, too. If you are one of those people that's involved with the digging up of these burial grounds, how do you sleep at night?
Mm-hmm.
How really?
Do you know if that's somebody else's family member that has been dug up and discarded like they were nothing?
Mm-hmm.
How would you sleep with your own burial ground? I mean, burial ground. Your own cemetery. Your family cemetery, how would you feel?
That's exactly what I asked the mayor. How would you feel if I went over and dug your son up?
Exactly. And how would they like it if a tribe of American Indians decided they would show them how it felt? They would stop them, wouldn't they? Yes, they would.
They would
stop them. Yes.
They would throw us in jail.
Thank you.
But you that's see, exactly what they would do.
They do. Thank you. But you see, they don't care about the American Indian because they consider the American Indian something very old and ancient. Yes, we are old and ancient. We are wise. We have ancestors from Black Elk, Fool's Crow. It goes on and on. Crazy Horse, Geronimo, Red Cloud, all the warriors that fought for us. It is in our respect to fight for them.
Exactly, exactly. I've seen those movies, the true story movies, and the National Geographic, and you cry. You can't help but cry when you watch that, what they went through back then. And like you said, now we have to take it.
Yeah.
We have to do it.
Yes, we do.
Because we still exist, and we're going to always exist.
Yes. That's what we have to teach our children.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Well, I want to say this. Continue, keep standing your ground. Hold your head up high, and don't let that mayor deter you in the least.
Oh, he's not going to. He knows he can't deter me. See, he don't answer my emails or my calls or anything anymore. See, he just kind of shut me out. That's why I called for help. Because, he, like I said, I've known him for many, many years, and he knows I'm not going to step down. He knows I'm a fighter. And I'm a fighter against wrongdoing, you know, just wrongdoing of any such, of injustice to anybody.
Well,
that
what
don't
he
deserve it.
Calls from people like us.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And I sure thank you, ladies, so much for your support.
Well, it's not over. You will be talking with us much more. This is the fight that it will go on until it stops.
Yes. That's what I said. I wasn't going to give up until I pass on. That's, you know, make my journey on. That's when I give up. That's the only time I give up.
Right. Well, it has been an honor to talk with you.
An honor to talk with you, too.
Oh,
very
you.
Much so. And Drifting Sun, I can't thank you enough.
Well, you're very welcome. When you told me what was going on, I knew that, you know, this was something we had to get out on air for everybody to hear. And
yes.
Hopefully be able to stop this because it's wrong. It is just so wrong. You know, if a headstone in a cemetery is broken or there's vandalism, then people are outraged over that. And
right.
For them to go and do this to a Native American burial site and it's 1,500 years old, that's vandalism. I don't care how they look at it. That's vandalism. That's someone's resting stop. I mean, resting stop. Ugh, I'm getting tongue-tied. Sorry. It's their resting place. And they shouldn't be trying to build over top of this. Leave it alone. And that goes for all of them.
Especially after they've already unearthed human remains.
What did they do when they unearthed those remains?
I don't know.
Did they replace them?
I don't know what they did with them. I don't think anybody can find out what they did with them. As far as I have, you know, been talking to Rob and all them, because he's helped me get through to the mayor and stuff through the, you know, he's with that preservation movement. He couldn't find out. I don't know what they did with them. All I know is the Senate did step in and make them stop because human remains had been unearthed.
Exactly.
But
question is,
he got quiet. You know, he got quiet for a year or so, and then started it all back up again.
Well, that's okay, because hopefully, you know, with everybody that's listened tonight and the phone number out there and the address out there, that, you know, they're going to
call them, please, everybody call them.
Well, we will.
Call them, write them. Call him till he gets sick of hearing it. That's what I've
never
done.
My email.
we've got people that when they make a call that it'll be one call and he'll jump.
Yes. And I would love to be on the fly in the wall and watch him jump.
Yeah.
I do so appreciate your lady so much for bringing me on to this, and I'm glad I was here when the call came in.
Well, you're very welcome, and anytime, and we're glad that we can help support stopping this destruction to this borough site as well.
Right.
And we're going to search for others. We're going to look for others, and whoever out there has one that they're fighting for, you know, feel free to contact me at any time.
Okay.
You can actually get emails to me just off of the show page alone, so you can find me. Just put my name in, and you, of course, you know I'm on Facebook, so.
Yeah, I know you are. So, oh, yes, I will continue to fight for all of them that I can fight for. Everyone that I see that pops up, I write or I call.
And you can forward that on to me. If I don't know about it, let me know, and then we'll get it out there.
Right.
Okay. I sure do appreciate it, and thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank
you. Okay, thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'll talk to you often.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, let's hope that this one will be stopped too, and
yeah.
Now word them to say, hey, you know, this can't be done. Not gonna allow it to be done. And as Wounded Knee said earlier this evening, it took all of us together to do it.
Yeah.
We done it.
Yeah.
So, big celebration.
He is such a wonderful man.
He is. I think I'm going to announce our upcoming show.
Okay.
You've probably been waiting on this one. Next weekend, we're going to have the LPDOC join us, and they are the Leonard Peltier Committee. They are going to come on and share with us about Leonard's story and what you can do to help try to gain his freedom. He's been in prison for more than 30 years over an incident that he was not involved with.
No.
So please join us for that show. Show support for them because they work very, very hard and have worked very hard for a long, long time. There's a lot more to this than what they want us to know. And I'm not talking about Leonard Sears Committee. I'm talking about others. So I'm going to be very careful how I word that.
Right.
But please, you know, tune in for that show. And as I said earlier, if you're aware of a burial site somewhere that's on the verge of destruction, you know, contact us, and we will put it out there on the air and just to make people aware this is what's going on. A few years ago, and I'm going to go ahead and say this because you brought Walmart up, Walmart did build over a burial ground in Tennessee. I personally will not go there. I don't want anything doing with that store.
Right.
Because it was just disrespectful, and they were very aware that burial site was there, you know, and what it comes down to is money, and that's all it's about. It's the land, and it's the money. It really does not matter what's on it. It could be a cemetery. It could be, you know, well, if it was a house, not that big of a deal, you know, tear it down, build, but, you know, it could be anything there, but that's what they did, so... But, you know, please do send emails, letters, call them. Don't let them be able to do business at the Oxford mayor's office. Keep them so busy with phone calls and the mail that they get that they're going to tire of it. Show support. You know, show that it's wrong. Say it's wrong. You know, voice your opinion. Don't let them do this. So,
What it's going to take is what it took before, and that is everyone to step in. Let this mayor know that there can be a sit-in in Oxford as well. There are many people in Alabama that I know that can and would, without question, get involved. There are so many different tribes in Alabama to support this, to help bring the desecrations to a halt, and then I'm sure after Alabama there'll be another one, and there'll be another one. But we're trying to deal with one at a time, so that we can win one at a time, and it's a joy to know when you have helped, and it's a challenge to know when you are put on the spot and your nerve is tested. So that is something that we will handle.
And you know, I think a sit-in at the Oxford Borough site would be a great idea. You know, they Wounded Knee and the people that stood behind him were on site for, I believe it was 101 to 103, well, it was 98 days when the battle was won.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a total of about 103 days there.
Right.
So it took 3 months to do. But the thing of it is, you know, they did it and they won, you know, because they had shown that they were not going to back down. And I think that's what needs to be done as well with this one, too.
Right. And like the Blue Horse said, she called until, you know, the man no longer responded. Well, you know, he has to, like anyone else, has to answer to somebody.
Yes.
You know, and if it takes calling the White House, which is what I did before, I called the White House and I talked to a young gentleman who said that he would make sure the president got the message. I will do it again, you know, and I feel like when it comes to what seems to be part of his mother's heritage, he has a feeling within his spirit that he will not allow things like this to happen. So what we can do is just keep hoping and praying that as the calls come into the White House, which I don't think he minds as long as they're done in a respectful, kind manner, that he will try his best to see what can be done.
Exactly. Yeah, I think so too. But you know, it all comes down to everybody coming together and standing in support and voicing their opinion. It's what it comes down to. And you've got to. You have to. Because if you don't, you know, they're going to continue doing what they want, how they want it, and it's not going to matter. You know, if they're doing this now to Native American burial sites, then what about the family cemeteries? You know, what about those?
That's right.
Right now they build around, they go around them, but what's to say in the future they don't start tearing over top of them too? Because, you know, they were able to do it with the American Indian burial ground, so why not let's just take this family cemetery?
That's
do
right.
away with it. Yeah, you know, who's going to miss it? Yeah, we got money to make, because that's exactly how they look at it.
Yeah.
But anyway, are you ready to call it a night, Jolene?
Yes, if you are, that's fine with me.
ma'am. We still have 40 minutes left in the show, and we could actually, if anybody wants to call in, if they got anything that they would like to say, you know, we'll give five more minutes on air before we call it an evening, and if you want to go out calling in, please do, and we'll bring you on. But I'm just glad to be able to be able to voice this about this and maybe try and help put a thought behind this.
Right. Yes. If there's anyone that has any questions, we can call it a question answering time, and that's what Drifting Sun is here for, to be able to answer your questions, and we'll see what we can do. And if you can offer any type of assistance, help, if you know anyone that can get in there and get involved, let us know, please. It means a great deal. Every helping hand helps another hand, and that's what it takes.
That's true. That's true. It does.
Yeah.
So, well, as she said, you know, you can feel free to call in if you have any questions. If you like, we can maybe turn a little towards the paranormal side for a few moments if you want to.
Okay.
I wanted to talk about Bunnyman Bridge. You know quite a bit about Bunnyman Bridge.
Yes, I know that a lot of people are scared to go there. They talk about it. They talk about getting close to it, and then they hear and they see things that scare them, and they take off. And of course, now the state police has put cameras up so that they can maybe possibly catch whatever is going on there. But I mean, from legend side of it, the Bunnyman Bridge was a place where the bunny, they called him the Bunnyman because he would kill rabbits and hang them from the bridge. That's where it got the name Bunnyman Bridge. And but he murdered couples that parked out there and would hang them from the bridge. And these are murders unsolved, because whether it was an evil spirit, whether it was a physical being, what have you, it managed to bring the lives of many young people to an end. And so the legend remains, and the legend is very much still alive and well when it comes to speaking about it. And I think my son and some of his peers took I'll drive out there, and he said he'd never go back. It was, he said it was pretty bad, and it was scary. And and they heard things and they saw things that he said that were almost unexplainable. So from there, I never really got that much more information, except that it's a very haunting, very, very haunting place.
Now, I can tell you a little bit of the history about Bunnyman Bridge and how the story evolved. Because I did a long time ago, when we first talked about that, I researched it. And it kind of dates back to the early 1900s, about 1903, I believe it was. And there was a institution down this one stretch of road where that bridge was. Mm-hmm. And they were moving patients. Mm-hmm. And there was a wreck, the bus ran off the road. Some of the patients got out and got away from the bus. They were able to get all the ones that were missing back, except for two. Now, for a long time, they couldn't find the two, and they actually found one of them oh gosh, maybe 2 or 3 months later, that was he had died himself, and at the time they found the rabbits around him. And they thought that he was the one that was doing the killing because the killings were already taking place by this time. So, and they never found the one. I don't know if they ever found his body at all. I've not found anything that suggested that they did.
Right.
But they talk about a light in there, in that tunnel. It was a very bright light. And
right.
That has happened as early as the, oh gosh, was it late 80s, early 90s when the last incident happened there?
I believe so. I believe it was in the very beginning of the 90s, the very, very beginning, and that was the last one. But because people still drive up there, from what I understood or understand, the state police planted cameras to film those who trespassed on Bunny Man Bridge. And
it's not a steel, it's not a bridge that's still being used today. It's just there, basically,
it's
now.
It's just
right?
There. It's like Crybaby Bridge. It's just there. Nobody uses it. It's not even useful. It just sits there, and the haunting is there, just like I had understood that the activity at Crybaby Bridge has picked up tremendously, and it's because of the timing of the year, the Civil War, the time of year where they traveled a lot on foot, and not only that, a lot of people bringing the spirits back by trespassing up on the bridge. Of course, there really aren't any signs that say no trespassing, but curiosity. I know that even I climbed the bridge and I saw things. I think it didn't scare me. I was more interested in. And wondering where, who they were and where they came from and things like that. And it's Crybaby Bridge is a very cold but active place.
Now, I was going to tell you about something that I read earlier today, and it kind of bothered me. And I was looking through, I was on Facebook, and I'd seen a comment that was left on someone's page that said that I've watched paranormal investigating enough on TV that I can do it too. And the only problem that I see with that is I feel that you need to be, even though you see it on TV, what you see on TV is not what it is in person. It's a lot different in person. There's more to it than just going out with an EMF meter and a camera. There's, for those that do it on the scientific side of things, you know, there's hours and hours of audio, and then there's the film, and then there's the research that has to be done, and that's prior to going into a location. And then sometimes you don't, you know, you can't just go to one location and then just not go back again. You know, that's
right.
Not logical to do. You know, because you have to determine what it is, why it's there, what it wants. You know, if it'll move on, you know, and if it has to go on to, if you bring somebody else in, say for instance, it's a really nasty negative or a demonic, which I personally have not experienced, and I'm glad of that so far, you know, because I've not had to come in contact with one like that. But, you know, then it's the getting in contact with the clergy and setting up the appointments with them, you know, so they can go in and do the blessings and so forth. And it's just not that simple.
Right.
So just because you see it that way on TV does not mean that's how it's going to be when you get out there and you get involved with it.
You are so right. And people with somebody that would say that, they don't have any idea. Once you get out there and you're dealing with, you know, what you see, it's a completely different thing.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
Exactly. And not only that, you open yourself to this when you go out. Mm-hmm. So even if you quit, they do still seek you out, whether you go out, you know, one or two times and then, yeah, I'm not going to do this anymore. You know, you can have issues from it just because you got involved.
Yes, right.
So I would think twice before, for, you know, watching television and saying I could do this too.
Yeah. It doesn't work that way, not really.
No.
No.
But you do yours on a different level. You use yourself. You could come across on a more natural approach to things.
Yeah, I think when we first started doing investigations and things, it's just me, you know. I've always been something toward the spiritual realm of things, and I didn't have all the, you know, EVP readers and all those things, my son, myself, Matt, we used ourselves. We just did it. Common ground with the TV program. I'm just using the word. We just did it the supernatural way, and that was you know, it was just what we were made of. It just naturally came from us. It was something that, you know, it came from the inside of us, from inside our spirit. I guess with our native culture, we didn't, you know, really want anything mechanical. So and not only that, not really understanding it either had a lot to do with that. And we felt like if we could do it naturally, we would be more comfortable with it, and it did, and it worked. It was us, and because it was us, it came naturally to us. So, therefore, we continued to do it that way, and the results from it were interesting, because when you do it naturally like that, what comes out of it, like the dogs, the black dogs that we saw, the hellhounds, as they put it, they came right out of the woods, went in the woods, disappeared, came out of the woods. It was very, it was something to behold. Maybe I wouldn't say scary, just to think that, yeah, I really did. They really did. I mean, and they went to lunge at the hood of my truck and jump up on it. And all it took was I just yelled, "Go back in the woods, please," you know, and just you know, "I'm not here to hurt you. I'm not, no harm," you know, and they just kind of look, you know, but they had the reddest eyes you've ever seen. And that was the part that kind of got to me in a little bit, but I didn't show it. And I just put it in reverse and kept going backwards and getting off of what they considered their area, you know. And they were not that pleasant to look at either. It was just muscle and bone. They were quite old.
Well, that area, anyway, has a lot of interesting facts about it. And for one, it's this really old, really old place, anyway, with that was one of the locations that the old ships used to come into, that's further
mm-hmm.
out from the house.
Mm-hmm.
And the house itself has quite a bit of history. But a lot of that history to that house... It's somewhat speculation, because one way they really don't know what happened there, but they do know that it was a possible orphanage back years and years and years ago.
Right.
And there are children buried in that yard.
Yes, there are.
And I know that they said that it looks dead there year-round. Nothing grows. The trees,
there's
the grass.
Right. There's not even a bat, and that's unusual not to even see a bat fly around in the summer at night. There's no animals. There's not even a snake. There's no wildlife, nothing out there. Even during the day, there's no deer. Everything is in water, and it can be. We had a drought at 1 year a few years ago. You would have thought everything would have dried up, but it was knee high in water. It's just. It's a haunting, terrible place. You can feel evil everywhere. You can feel it. It's strange.
And you know, I've been wanting to go out there ever since you first told me about that.
And it's still there. It's still there.
Yeah, we're going to have to do that sometime soon. We really are.
Oh. I that's what I've been hoping that we can do one day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll go out there and we'll see how fast or how long I actually stay.
Okay.
I'm serious. If those dogs come out of that wood, those woods, I'm probably gone.
That was the one thing that got to me, because they headed right straight for the front of the windshield, and I can't say that I worried more about my father's windshield and my father worrying, you know, he was still with us at that time, and I worried more about, you know, what backlash would come from a busted windshield, and if we got out of there okay, then I did the dogs themselves, you know. In that sense, I suppose it was kind of funny, but it wasn't funny to look at them because they were horrifying to see.
Oh, I can only imagine. I know that when I was in Oklahoma, we went into a cemetery, and we went to several different ones, and really didn't do a paranormal investigation. You know, it was basically just pictures. So
right.
We went out there and I took pictures. You know, I wasn't going to do the whole thing. That's kind of a rule of thumb for our team.
Right.
To not do one unless one of the other team members are with you, and that's
right.
How we've always been.
Right.
But, anyway, we went to these different places, and went to this one in particular, and there was a black dog in the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl that was with me and her mother, one of them said, "Did you see that dog's eyes? It's red."
Yep, they're red.
It didn't look the way you described the ones there. This dog was solid black, but it was, you know, it wasn't bony. It didn't have that flesh look.
Yeah.
It was still had its fur and everything.
Yeah.
But there was one grave in particular we could not get near, would not let us near.
Oh.
And thought that was strange. Yeah. So while we were out there, and this was funny because I kind of laughed about it, because we were out there and we were standing there and had the car lights. The car was running, lights were on, and we could see this dog, you know, but we were out of the vehicle. And I saw this truck. I could see the lights. Then it turned in, of course, Oklahoma, the roads are, like, really, really straight. And we could see the lights. Here it comes. And it happened to be one of the police officers. And he comes in behind us there, and he's like, "What are you doing? You know, you're not supposed to be here, blah, 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 blah." And I was kind of, I don't know, I thought it was kind of funny, but, you know, I knew that we probably wasn't supposed to be in that cemetery that late at night.
Right.
And he comes to find out, he knew the one girl, and he knew me too. Because from where I lived there 2 years ago, and he's like, "Oh, well, you know, just go on, be safe. But we told him about the dog. And all this while he's standing here, I pulled my car out because he had come, he was kind of behind my vehicle, but he was kind of over, the lights were still shining around my vehicle.
Right.
I take the vehicle and go out onto the road. All this time, he said he's standing here and he's watching this dog. The dog is still there. When he turned around for like 2 seconds, just 2 seconds, and he said that it was gone, absolutely just gone, nowhere to be seen. He took and went through the cemetery, took the big huge lights that they use,
yes,
and looked all the way through and did not find that dog nowhere.
Wow. Yeah, because they go back into the woods and they're gone, and that's what we saw. Only these dogs didn't have any fur. They was just muscle and bone and red eyes, and it was we had somebody named Josh with us, and he was screaming to the top of his lungs, you know, get out of here, get out of here. Well, all I could do was put it in reverse and pray I went backwards, and we did, and got out of there. And once we crossed their line, what I considered their line, they quit chasing the truck. They just stopped. And that was it. It was over. It was like that line right there, and it looked like Epsom salt. Salt. It was definitely salt, and it was like a line that went right across the road. And it was, after I crossed over it, we were fine. We were safe. But being across on their side, it was almost like you were in one world and out of the other.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was on a crossroad too, wasn't it?
No, actually, that particular area doesn't have a crossroad that actually makes the crossroads. Now, Carter's Grove Plantation, right across the highway from me, has a real crossroads that the slaves used to get out of there. They would sell their soul to the devil to get out of the slave quarters and to get out of the area. And that does have a real crossroads, and it's still there today.
Wow. Yeah. I remember you telling me about that and the crossroads. And I guess I kind of got them confused as to where the crossroad was, because I thought it was over near...
No,
the
it's across from me. Robert told me, my son, he said, stay away from it. He said he toys with you when you go too close. And I happened to look down, and I saw how deep the hole had been dug, where there, gosh, only knows how many boxes are in there of cat bones and graveyard dirt, and they put their own little pitcher or whatever they have, a trinket, whatever, to give to the devil to get out of there. And it makes you want to dig the hole up and look at it all, but you don't dare. You don't dare to go near to touch it.
Right.
Stay away.
I've never really been too enthused about the thoughts of a crossroad, because I think of that, you know, if I see one, I'm out,
yeah.
I see one. So I do think about that. But usually once that's done, it's what, 10 years, right? They get 10 years,
maybe. Yeah, if that's what they allow you. And and then they come, as Robert Johnson, the famous blues guitarist, said, they come a-calling. And he did it. And he wasn't the same when he came back. There was something much different about him. He was the greatest blues guitarist of all time, but after 10 years of the agreement, they came a-calling, and he made all those songs, Hellhound on My Heels, and he sang it. He sang about it before they got him. So he let people know it's forever.
Mm-hmm. And it is. That's stuff you don't really want to get involved with, because it's dangerous.
You're right.
It's very dangerous to do it.
You're right. Mm-hmm. Well,
are you ready to call it quits for the night?
Yeah, I'm tiring out just a little bit, so I think if it's okay with you, You know, it's up to you, Karen.
Yeah, let's go ahead. We've been on for an hour and 45 minutes, so I want to thank everybody for coming and listening to us tonight.
Yeah.
We appreciate you being here. Please do call the mayor in Oxford, Alabama. And letters and emails to him to show support in preserving that burial ground, because it needs to be done. And tune in to next week, because, as I said before, we are going to be speaking about Leonard Peltier, and that is going to be a very important show, as well as the ones that we've done with the Burial Grounds. They, too, are very important. But this is important on another level.
Please
join us and tune in and see what you can do to help.
Yeah.
So I want to wish everybody a good night.
Good night.
This evening, I'm not going to do the closing song. We're just going to bow on out, and we'll see y'all next week.
Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good night, everyone. Mataki awesome.
Mataki awesome.
Oh.
Oh.